come here. Get off.
Okay. Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Okay, so welcome to this week's, this Saturday night's episode.
Very first live show.
Yeah,
that's the sound of a chair being popped.
Is it though?
I like
I feel like that would scare me.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if like the first time you having sex, all of a sudden it's like like a cork.
I was caught at the end. It's like
that is the thing that happens.
Okay, well. Okay, so we're gonna just follow the normal course of show. We have our fantabulous play cousin with us, but we'll get to the introductions after we read. So tonight we are reading from Let the Lover Be, which was published in 2014 by cousin of the show, Sheree L. Greer.
Yes.
So sit back. Oh, wait, before I get started. Okay, y'all. So I dropped in the link a bingo card. We always say the same, say a few of the same sayings throughout our show. So if you hear us
a lot, like old people.
Yeah, because I'm an old lady. But anyway, so if you hear us say any of this, cross it out on your bingo card. When you get bingo, just tap it in the card, we'll know. And the winner of the bingo game gets a lovely signed copy of Let the Lover Be. So,
and everybody gets your own unique card. So when you click that, it should ask you to sign in with your name. And you literally, if you click on the square that has the thing that we said, it'll X itself off and we can see it, which is pretty fucking cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So sit back, relax, get your wine, get your weed, get your whatever you need, and enjoy.
So we're going to read from Let the Lover Be by Sheree L. Greer. Never done this with an audience before.
Just rock that mic.
Well, you know that I'm good at that, so here we go. The woman was lava, molten, hot lava. She moved over Kiana's skin, slow and steady, thick and rolling, heavy, hot, and destructive. Her name was unimportant, her body a volcano. Kiana's fingers dove deep inside her, finding a fiery rage churning and railing around her knuckles. She shook from the inside, trembling and coming apart. I don't even know your name, the woman had said before Kiana kissed her in the elevator. And I told myself I'd stop doing this, she'd whispered into Kiana's neck as clothes loosened and fell to the floor. Her doubts and hesitations, better judgment and healthy caution, everything hard and jagged about her, everything solid and certain, crumbled and splashed into the pool of fire between them as they rolled and rumbled across the bed. The woman's liquid heat coated Kiana's fingers, their sweat sizzling on their skin. Finally, the eruption, the rush, the spray. It caught Kiana off guard. She removed her hand and looked down at the woman. All she could see was light, the lamp, the sun, the moon, the streetlight. She didn't know which, but it glimmered off the woman's face, making it glowing brass, the length of her slender nose and perfection of pouty lips. She dipped down to kiss her, and the woman turned her face and flipped over, situating herself on top of Kiana. The light hit her features, a blur of movement and warmth. The woman's mouth seemed everywhere at once. She went down, and Kiana felt lips and tongue and teeth. She opened her legs in invitation, and the woman accepted. Kiana looked down at the top of the woman's head. She couldn't remember her name or if she'd even asked what it was. She couldn't remember the woman's face. She recalled only light, glowing, comforting light, and heat. Light and heat. She smiled and arched her body up, offering herself to the sun, fucking the sun. It was these moments, these times of complete abandon that Kiana felt most secure. An oxymoron, uncertain and exposed, she let go of everything and became sure and protected. She rolled the rising heat between her legs, her body curling with uncontrollable sensation. She called out to God, claiming and clutching at something bigger than herself. "Oh my God," Kiana screamed. The woman moaned. The heat waned, only to return again, building up and threatening to explode again. She shuddered against the woman's mouth. Everything she knew and didn't know, swallowed by flames, extinguished against the surface of the sun. This was Kiana's salvation, her second coming. She threw it all into the sky as she thrust her hips up. Michelle, Genevieve, Karen, her mother, gumbo and wine, bikes and bread, bass thumps and shots of whiskey, and it burned away to nothing. Only pleasure remained. And she called out to God when she came again. The woman joined her in the bucking climax, the bed thumping against the wall. If only she could have this, the pleasure of coming together with another in a single moment suspended in time. There were no expectations in that moment. There were no disappointments. There were no memories. There was only now, 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 and now again. Kiana closed her eyes with a wish that now could be all there was, that now could be forever, and that forever could be release. No pent-up pressure of the past, no festering fantasies for the future, just the numbing, nourishing now. She collapsed against the bed, a blur of light as the woman rose from between her thighs. Then darkness.
Yay!
I'm gonna pat myself on the back. The fuck? So,
in the comments, they said Kenria's voice is like a butter or a warm blanket. Someone also said it's like hot Cheddar Bay biscuits.
That's somebody after my heart. Y'all know I love a good fucking Red Lobster biscuit.
Killer's voice even eat cheese, but was made for this shit. Okay, so she's dope. Okay, so thank you for that amazing reading.
You're welcome.
You just button on that.
What? Yes. You wrote it. How you talking?
But it don't sound like that when I read it. Woo. Okay.
That was a good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So before we jump into our discussion,
yes,
we want to bring in the lovely Cherie. I want y'all to know about this woman. So, see, you got that place that's hard for me to pronounce, so you're going to have to fix it when I fuck it up. All right, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, my
good Midwestern tongue. Mm-hmm.
So Cherie is a text-based artist and educator living in Tampa, Florida. She's a Yaddo and Ragdale. Yaddo, see? She's a Yaddo and Ragdale Rubin Fellow, Astraya and Lesbia Foundation grantee. You know, Astraya is close to my heart. And is the author of two novels, Let the Lover Be, which was a Rainbow Award finalist, and the Black Lives Matter inspired A Return to Arms. She also created a short story collection, Once and Future Lovers, and a student writing guide called Stop Writing Whack Essays. Yes. Stop it. They suck. Cherie is the founding director of Kitchen Table Literary Arts, and her work has been featured in literary journals, magazines, and anthologies. Her most recent work, Bars, was nominated for a Pushcart Prize. Y'all, please welcome Cherie to the show.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Did you just spill something, bitch?
Did you spill your drink?
Spill a little champagne.
Oh my God.
Whatever.
So she's drinking champagne, y'all. I'm drinking Pedialyte. I've been fucked up for the last 2 weeks.
But she rallied for tonight.
I did, but I got the fruit punch Pedialyte. Word to my partner who made a run for me today and got me some more.
Word to your mother. Well, not your mother. No, to your partner.
To my partner.
My bad.
Hey, man.
Okay. So, we read this book and like instantly fell in love because not only is it a beautiful book, but it's realistic.
Yeah.
They don't just walk off in a sunset holding hands and just like, ding, ding, ding. Like, it's some for real shit. Like, shit happens and we don't have to deal with it. So let's start with a quick story synopsis. I'm going to give the synopsis. Y'all know I fuck it up.
Why Tell me if I'm... Cherie give the synopsis? Yes. A square...
Why are you looking at us like that?
A spoiler-free synopsis because
a spoiler-free synopsis.
Because we want folks to read it and we don't want them to be all fucked up because we told them too much. You know, we'd be struggling now.
Yeah. It is Let the Lover Be is about a functional alcoholic who travels to New Orleans to try to stop an ex's wedding.
New Orleans, baby.
Baby.
I have the horrible accents. But I'm going to continue that.
I mean, I like it.
That's the story.
Okay. So while she's in New Orleans, she meets somebody and hijinks ensue.
Dot, dot, dot.
Okay. So y'all, just so you know, I'm living my Oprah fantasy because I have cards. I like found stickers and put them on the back so that I can look official. I only did one because we don't have a ton of stickers, so I just did one.
I got some of my fanny packs.
If y'all need to, if somebody wants some stickers, then I might have to pull this off because, you know, budget, whatever. Okie dokie. Okay, so this particular scene that we read was when the main character, Kiana, meets a woman at a bar and they fuck and like she's nameless, faceless. She was reaching for something and that woman was giving it. She was giving all that it should be gave. Do y'all follow Roland Ray on Instagram? Okay. I have these like niche pop culture references and because
Karina I know who
so
Roland Ray okay, bitch.
Wait.
I know who Roland Ray is. Because I was just watching a video today, but I do not follow Rolling Ray.
Oh.
Because somebody said Rolling Ray sound like Maya Angelou. It wasn't meant to be not a compliment, but I listened to the audio clip and I was like, they're not.
Rolling Ray does not sound like Maya Angelou, and that is fucking blasphemous.
Does it sound like David Alan Grier doing Maya Angelou?
That's what I always mean.
That's just that one of my favorite skits. I'm sorry.
Fucking horrible that y'all would equate Roland Ray with Maya Angelou, but whatever. Roland Ray did get recognized by Beyonce, so sure I mean, he's doing a little better than us. Mm-hmm. And okay,
with a personalized note and everything. See, I saw that.
I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. I'm getting distracted by your boobs, but okay. I mean, like in a good way.
Yes,
I'm being inspired. I am inspired.
Okay, so this sex scene reminds me of one of my favorite songs. I try to something away. I put one in the anger.
I was like, where are you going?
I follow 70 states and put them in a can of hair. It's like cranes in the sky. Okay, so anyway, this scene was like one of those where she was just trying to fuck it away. Like, mm-hmm. Right before this, Kiana had some real emotional stuff come up and she was just like running from it and ran and was like, you know what? I'm gonna fuck it away with this nameless faceless person. Mm-hmm. And to me, the scene showed that like it was so, although she was having sex with someone, it was more about her being in touch with herself and trying to get in touch with these particular feelings. She was like, chasing a feeling, you know?
I mean, it felt to me like she was chasing not having to feel, like this moment where you can just live in ecstasy and where that ecstasy crowds out all of the thoughts that are encroaching on you. Like the things that, you know what I mean? Like the intrusive things, the things that you don't want to deal with when you fucking and when you coming, you don't have to think about those. It's like a moment of pure joy. But what you think, Sheree, since she wrote it?
Since she wrote it, what would you think?
So, it is, it's both of those things, because I feel like whenever you're trying to, if you self-medicate with anything, a lot of times you're doing it because you're trying to escape having to think about certain things, but it don't work like that. Like, so in writing that scene, it's like, yes, I just want to fall into some pussy and not think about all this stuff that's coming up for me since I've been here. But even in that moment, it still pops up for you to keep trying to chase it away. And then it pops up if you're trying to chase it away. And so it's this active kind of thing where it, you can't shake it. That's why it's igging you like that, because you can't shake it, but you're trying. And so even in that moment of like her second climax is like, I'm trying not to think about this shit. It's there, but I'm trying not to think about it. And it's like, you can't shake it. When something is really bothering you, you can try, but you can't really shake it.
That should be on your back.
You can't really shake it.
So, did y'all ever go through a toxic ass period where you tried to blank it away? Like, I remember, so I think about, like, I went through a, I mean, right? I went through a period, multiple periods, my entire fucking 20s. Let's just say that.
As soon as you asked that question, I was like, my 20s?
Right? Like,
my 30s, maybe? Like,
right? And so I found, I look back at some of the things that I picked up. I remember one time I was like, I was married and just going through some shit. Not written, looking back, I was definitely trying to like pottery away my pain.
Pottery away, whatever.
It was just one of them things where I was like, I need to do something with myself. And so I ended up fucking taking a pottery class. I literally could go in my storage room right now. I have platters that are shaped like this. Fuck you, bitch.
You do.
You ain't supposed to agree.
It's true.
Anyway, so I tried pottering away my, you know, but I mean, there were also destructive behaviors, drinking too much, fucking all of that. Like, so, and looking back, it was just me trying to run from issues that I thought I had resolved, but not really. I just kind of brushed them away, pushed them down a little bit more. So what about you?
I mean, I think I've always tried to write through a lot of what I was feeling. So like I'm an avid journaler. So I'm always trying to write through what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, what I'm confused by, what I'm hurt by. But even in the writing, like, and it's interesting because I was just listening to Kiese Lehman on NPR the other day. He's one of my favorite contemporary writers. And he was talking about how like writing a book is not therapy. So it's like writing in my journal is not therapy. So you can't write it away. But other than writing, it was primarily sex and drinking. Like that was how I dealt with everything. Mm-hmm. It was, that was the answer. Because you could go in the moments and try, like Kiana tries in that scene, you could try to forget what's going on. And in some ways it works, you know what I'm saying? So I kept it going for a while in that moment. That's that concept of now, like in this moment, fuck all that shit. Like in the moment, I'm having drinks, I'm having fun, I'm, you know, meeting people, I'm laughing, I'm being flirty, I'm, you know, doing all the things that I wish I could do all the time, but not really. Cause
then you wake up the next morning like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that part.
You got anything to
So, I mean, I think the answer was yes, but not in a fun way.
Yeah.
Like for me,
I mean, it's never in a fun way when you think. I mean, like even, in the moment,
not
it's
even,
fun.
Nope. Not oh, wow. Even in the moment. Okay. I, you know, I was prepared to say no, but when I think about it, I think that what I did was bury myself in relationships. Like people used to call me a serial monogamous, and I used to call myself that too. But I think what it really was that I was afraid to be alone. And so I would find myself very quickly moving into these relationships with niggas that wasn't shit. But because I didn't want to be by myself, I was willing to settle for being with someone who, quite frankly, did not deserve my company. And so it wasn't that I was out here doing fun stuff. It was I was battling with raggedy ass niggas. But it was better to do it to me. It felt like it was better to do that in my 20s than it was for me to just be alone and deal with my shit. It wasn't until, you know, the last few years where I got like deep into therapy and working on myself and getting to the point where I was quite happy alone, which allowed me to then be able to be a good partner to someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like too, like that's part of, and I think it's not by accident that we mention this particular time in our lives either, like our 20s, mm-hmm. because it's almost like I feel like you don't necessarily recognize that you might have some like deeper issues. Cause if you look around you, everybody's
toxic as fuck
and everybody's sleeping around or getting into relationships and, you know, let's talk shit about, you know, who you dating and, you know, fuck that. And I'm with somebody else now. Like you feel like that's what you're supposed to be doing at the time. And so you don't even know till you start thinking like, am I really having fun? Mm-hmm. Am I really getting through this? Like, am I really enjoying my life? Am I waking up in the mornings with more regret than I'm copping to, you know what I'm saying? And so, but that's so hard to see when you in it. So when you in your 20s, like, you feel like that, well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. And it's like, some of us got some real fucking problems and that's not what we're supposed to be doing.
We're normalized toxic behavior. Yeah. Right? Like we've made that what we do. That is supposed to be age appropriate as opposed to actually sitting with yourself and figuring out your shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's old people shit.
Yeah. Right. That's lame. That's foul.
Right. But I will say it is great once you figure out your shit and then can be back on that bullshit, which is
absolutely because then you have healthy boundaries around the bullshit.
That part.
Ooh. That's why I keep you around. Okay. So just one of the general things about this book is that Kiana wanted that old thing back. She got a call.
She sure did.
Saying that her ex is getting married. And she was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to stop it. So she jumped on a plane, went to New Orleans. Oh, wait. You know what? Before I even get there, I don't know if we asked you this. Are you from Chicago? Did you live in Chicago? What's your connection with Chicago?
I lived there for graduate school.
Okay. Because when you wrote about, so the main character, Kiana, is from Chicago. And you wrote about Chicago and it felt very intimate, like you knew, like you lived it and felt it. I love the way you wrote about Chicago. You could tell that you had like a real,
like you had to hawk on your back for a while.
Oh yeah, it was there. Yeah. I'm originally from Milwaukee, and Midwest. You know, Chicago is right down the street. Okay. And so just have visited Chicago often, but then I moved there for graduate school. And I feel like when I moved to Chicago, I started trying to figure out who I actually was. Like I left a career in IT and to become a writer. And I came out while I was in Chicago. I was like getting off work one day and one of my coworkers who's a lesbian was like, I'm going to this party. You want to go? You're gay, right? And I was like, uh-huh. Like, I didn't even you're like, I had an inkling because I had been dabbling.
And so I was like, you're toeing a lady pond.
So I went, but then
so you had admitted it to yourself or not at that point, but not to anybody else?
Not at that point, but once I got invited to that party, and because I, like I said, I had been dabbling. I thought, you know how like people, oh, you can, you know, you're just a freak or whatever. But it turned out.
Like, no, I'm committed. You know what?
I like this. I want more of this. And so Chicago was really formative for me in that way. And I don't know that I've ever said this publicly. So I'm going to say it on y'all show and I'm going to say it live. So it's not really a spoiler because, I mean, y'all already know she be getting fucked up. Kiana gets fucked up. So in the opening scene of the book, she rides the L train back mm-hmm. and forth because she's too drunk to like mm-hmm. realize where the fuck she is. And that like 100% happened to me. Like that was a real ass story. Like and it was wild that that's what I opened the book with, because I found the paper. Like I had some paper in my pocket that night and I found the little papers because I was writing on the L train or whatever. And I was writing in between, and it was so wild to use that scene and then to also think about myself in that way, because I was really trying to disassociate myself from this character. So I'm like, she is fucked up. She's got some problems. And then, you know, turns out, Cherie, you got some issues and you need to figure some stuff out for yourself, you know? But that's why Chicago feels so urgent and so real, because mm-hmm. like that was my life, and Chicago was just really, it was just really integral to me finding myself and becoming myself and getting to know myself away from my family for the first time.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I'm from another Midwestern girl from St. Louis, and DC holds a special place in my heart, because when you get away from family, no matter how much you love them, mm-hmm. you're able to figure out who you are independent of what people think you are and what your family wants you to be and all of that. So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Do you have a city that's like that?
I think it's DC and New York. I mean, those are the only other places I've mm-hmm. lived. You know, I'm from Cleveland.
Cleveland.
We had a whole Midwestern situation going on.
I love it. Like a... I love it.
So, yeah, no, these two cities are where I became me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Outside of the shadow of your family. Okay. So, so Kiana romanticized the fuck out of her old relationship. Like,
she had a bitch on a pedestal.
On a pedestal, as we say in the Midwest. So, like, I found it interesting how she was really able. Don't look at my notes. Oh, I thought you were looking at my notes.
I'm looking at head you. Start.
She's active listening.
Right. Okay. My bad. I ain't used to that. okay. You can tell I like ain't got a man and live with babies and live with a child. So anyway, okay. So she romanticized all her relationships, like the relationship with her mother. She romanticized the relationship. I know. She romanticized the relationship with her mom, her ex. Like she just remembered shit so differently. And it made me think about, like, I remember when I told my son that we were divorcing, that mm-hmm. me and my ex were divorcing, and this little boy cried his eyes out. He was like, but we do everything together. And I was like, what? But it's amazing how like you like really like can build this space mm-hmm. in your head, you know. And that was a romantic relationship, but even like, you know, my father passed away when I was really young, and I still have memories of him as a 10-year-old, and it took like years of therapy to like break those down and unromanticize them. And I think that kind of helped me become a better person, because I was able to then see like what was happening. I mean, see like the full more picture actually, of what was yeah. actually going on.
Do you have any relationships that you might look back on? Well, that you remember romanticizing, but then it took some time and like the light of day to see it and be like, oh, that was some bullshit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in a way, the theme of alcoholism really plays a part in that. And so like right now I'm working on my next book, which is a memoir. And it's about my challenges with alcohol abuse through the lens of family trauma and some other things. But ultimately, it's about me reckoning with memory, because if you abuse alcohol, you black out. And so the whole essence of blackouts is lost time, is lost memories. And you get into this space where if you can't fully discern when you're of clear mind and when you're been drinking, like everything is jumbled in your mind when you don't have a particular type of clarity. And so it's like all of those things are always at play with substance abuse, where it's like, I remember things, but is this a drunk memory? So it is like built up to be one thing instead of another, or I have this memory and I don't quite know how to place it. Or like, this is what I thought about things then versus this is what I think about things now. And it's such rugged terrain trying to find your way through it. And so I feel like I romanticized a lot of things. I romanticized particularly relationships with parents, with siblings, with friends, where it's like, I remember them being this way, like, oh, these times were just amazing and everything was great. And turns out not so much. But then that happens on the other side, too, where you remember things being just so terrible. And it's like, oh, this was the worst thing that could have happened. This person did me so wrong. And then you think back on it and it was like, nah, it didn't even happen like that. Not really. And so I feel like just that concept of romanticizing and then also painting things worse than they actually are. Mm-hmm. I feel almost too, like, even substance abuse aside, like, memory is just tricky as fuck. You know what I'm saying? It's all contextual.
Yep. Trauma on top of that, it changes. Yeah,
it changes the whole thing. It's like a funhouse mirror or something when you're looking at yourself and other people. It's everything feels distorted and you got to try to find your way through it, I guess. Yeah. But I was definitely one for romanticizing romantic relationships. I was definitely one for doing that.
Yeah. Did you, so because you romanticized relationships, did you ever double back to an ex out of like...
That was the most exhausted.
Well, we should gotta get off camera.
Oh my goodness. That was a
it came out the depths of my skin. that was her great granny. Be like, get out.
That was a deep one. No, I don't it's funny. I was just talking to my niece. We were talking about our birth charts. And so I'm a Virgo sun sign, but I'm a Sagittarius moon. And I saw this meme.
Wait, so you're like this, but like,
yeah,
at the same time. Okay, all right.
I needed to find out my whole chart because I would look at Virgo stuff and I'd be like, yeah, that's me. But then a lot of it wasn't. I'm like, what about all this other shit that I can't, that
on the Virgo inside, like, tear the club up,
Virgo means like, sit down somewhere. What are you doing? And so what's funny, I saw this meme the other day on Instagram, and it was a person kneeling in front of a tombstone doing like this.
You're like, it me.
And the bottom said, Sagittarius be like. And I was like, oh shit. That's for real. I don't revisit exes. That we don't do that. Hey, it's been real. So no, I never double back on the ex. I think, in terms of romanticizing, I'll be like, man, we had some really beautiful memories. We had some beautiful times together. But then I feel like, you know, that ain't work out. Don't go back there. You ended it for a reason. Don't go back there.
Okay, so we're going to take just a quick pause for the cause. Do the kids still say that on TikTok, on the TikTok?
You watch TikTok all day.
I know. I haven't seen a TikTok about pause for the cause, but we're going to take a pause for the cause real quick because Bingo has been called by our good friend. So shout out to you for winning the bingo.
Yes. Wait, I didn't get to answer that.
I was just about to turn to you and ask you. You had to answer
that question
from the depths of her spirit. Yeah.
Deep in the chest.
Okay.
So, what had happened was.
No, I'm not finna tell that story. I need to be drinking champagne and I can't.
Okay.
So I'll start with. As we've talked about a lot on the show, Eric and I both are like recovering codependents.
And we gonna touch on that shit in these notes.
Okay.
Keep going.
So I remember, codependency was very tough for me to even hear and then to start to deal with. I remember after I had finally got comfortable with the term and whatnot and had, you know, read the book and highlighted shit and was like, oh, it's me. Okay, cool. And then our therapist gave me that book about parents, I remember I went to a session after I read it and I was like, I feel like you're asking me to like rewrite my entire childhood.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, you're just adding footnotes, which made me feel better. But yeah. She was like, no, you're adding context to
what went on.
You're not wiping it out. It's not saying that the things that you felt were not real. It is just helping you to better put them into context, which was helpful to hear.
So important.
But it was a really difficult moment when I realized that a lot of the ways that I had romanticized my relationship with my father in the absence of a relationship with my mother.
Yes.
Were just not realistic and were not an accurate reflection of the very fraught childhood that I had. It was not easy. So there's that. And then with relationships, so 9 times out of 10, I don't go back. I am an Aries.
That bitch burned down. She's like, we're going to burn down this bridge and then we're going to take the ashes and bury it.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna build like a skyscraper on top of them shits on the bed. Mm-hmm. But I have one situation where I went back, and it was because it was unfinished business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I like to finish business. And so when that situation closed, it wasn't because one of us had really fucked up. It was just because logistically it wasn't working out. And so I revisited, not out of romanticizing, but out of, hey, I want to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
I should not have seen where it went.
I didn't want it.
my wife is an Aries, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we were dating, she had an ex like that, where nothing really was wrong. It's just like some stuff, like somebody had moved or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I had said, and that's why I love that you said unfinished business, because I had said, I don't do strings. Like you got some unfinished business. If you got some, like.
New strings turn into entanglement.
Because if somebody moved or like stuff wasn't working out because like somebody was, you know, laid off and unemployed, and it's like y'all ain't have no real problems, it was just like some other stuff kind of happened, then that means when that thing has been rectified or whatever, if you still got feelings for that person, then you know what I'm saying, it's like, oh well, we broke up because he moved away, and it's like, okay, well what if he come back and be like, oh yeah, I'm here to, you know, move into my mama's house, and then now you're like, oh shit,
be looking at me.
So it's like, that loose end kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like definitely if you feel like you got an ex that you still have feelings for, I want to know that information. Like I'd be asking, I'd be like, well, why did y'all break up? What happened? Tell me.
I want to know the story. Socks they have on.
Because I need to make, like, oh, well, you know, when, you know, she got laid off and when she lost her job, stuff just got real tough. I was like, nope, that bitch show back up with some money. Where does that leave me? You know what I'm saying? So we don't do them loose ends.
It's a good question.
That's a good question to ask.
But I think, I know what I learned from my situation was that, you know, people said, I learned a lot.
It's like, whoa. It's on your shoulders. You're going to get it off your shoulders.
I learned that things really do. I mean, I hate when people say things happen for a reason because they always like say it after somebody die or something. I'm like, fuck you. But like,
but at you, I be saying it all the time. So put it in.
But like, cats living, because my situation was living in different cities. Cats live in different cities for a motherfucking reason. Leave that nigga over there.
Moral of the story.
That's the moral of that story.
Okay, so have y'all done something stupid in an attempt to save some things, turn some things around, get someone's attention? Because going to New Orleans thinking you're going to stop. I don't know what the fuck Kiana thought was going to happen. Like, stop!
You know what she thought was going to happen? Because this kind of shit, y'all saw a different world when Dwayne walked up in that white suit.
Like, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Or what was that song that came out? That Wale song that came out a couple years ago, talking about, baby, I got plans for you, or I had plans for you, or some shit. And he walking up the aisle on the wedding day, trying to look in her eyes and shit. Like, we in Storyland, people think that shit right. They like, oh, I'm gonna show up. I mean, it go way back to, what was that? I show this movie to my students sometimes, The Graduate.
Riding off in the back of the car together.
They get on the bus like we out. You know what I'm saying?
They look at each other like, oh shit.
So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if that stuff happens. I had somebody call me. I had this, and I didn't even fuck this dude. It was so wild. So this dude had called me on his wedding day and had asked me, like, if you say come to Florida, I'll come to Florida.
Nigga, don't put that shit on my conscience.
I didn't know what to do. I did not know what to do. And it was so wild because it was this weird thing where, like, because, like, we hadn't had sex or anything. We just had this night of talking. And I feel like sometimes because dudes think everything, like, ends and begins with their penises, that if you're a woman and, like, you don't fuck with them, like, y'all don't fuck, then something magical happened. And it was like, nothing magical. I mean, we talked
about it. You're like, no. If it was magical, I would have fucked you.
Right.
And we're really getting magic.
We were just hanging out. You know what I'm saying? So I think about stuff like that. I'm like, I'm sure that happened. I'm sure people, like, you know, leave folks at the altar or call things off, or I'm sure it happens.
I think also with that guy's situation, like, if you at the point where you call in folks, like, you, honey,
you don't need to be doing it.
For something. But it's so interesting because that just shows, like, cats can concoct a whole different version of you. Mm-hmm.
But that's what, literally, this is what Kiana's whole situation was.
Yeah.
Like, when she had the conversation with Michelle and they were talking about, like, the whole book, Kiana's talking about these, the relationship, and then Michelle comes in and is like, bitch, do you remember this? Like, who are you? You know? You know what it reminds me? When I was younger, when I was a kid, my dad, in St. Louis, there's the art museum, and then there's Art Hill, which is where everyone goes sledding. And at the bottom of Art Hill is this pond. when I was a kid, in my mind, we were like going down the side of fucking Mount Rushmore into the sweet drop. We might die. We gonna die. And I remember being, and I was always an anxious kid, but I remember being a kid out there looking around at these kids like laughing and smiling and joking. I'm like, y'all niggas out here kicking it. We gonna die. Like, y'all parents are fucked up for letting y'all do this. We gonna die. Girl, I went back about 10 years ago. It is the most gentle slope. It's like a gentle slope. And then it ends, and then there's like easily like 15, 20 feet of like just flat sidewalk, and there's like a lip, and then like a little pond. And if you back in, we'll probably go to your ankle. So, yeah, even if you made it, you'd be like, yeah. In my mind, I was like, we're gonna die. But you know, that's just your brain be making shit up. Your brain be making shit up. Okay, so I'm thinking of, so since I asked you that hard question about have you ever done some stupid shit in an attempt to turn something around or convince somebody, have you, Kenria?
I don't know, have I? You looking at me like you know some shit?
She turned around like she got an example. Right. And she was letting me see if you
could go get me. I was trying to get my, you know,
I mean, I have stayed some places where I should not have stayed.
Girl.
But
or been cool with some, like, yeah, this is fine. This is all right.
It's like a fucking dog in a burning apartment. Like, I have definitely
been a dog. Yeah. I'm like, dog in a burning apartment? What do you mean? You have a dog? No, but I know. Now I guess. Like, don't you learn it to him?
My baby. I've been that dog. But you know, I'm not a grand gesture kind of person.
Oh, I am.
I don't really expect them, and I for damn sure don't do them. So.
Oh, I love grand gestures.
Have you done something to kind of?
Oh, here's like,
I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna turn it around.
Here's the thing. This is my Uncle Clifford point. I'm watching Pink Valley. Oh, here's the thing. No, I haven't done any grand. I can't think of any grand gestures, and I say that because at the end of the day, a bitch got pride. Like. Mm. Too much pride. And so you ain't gonna curry me. You ain't gonna have me out there looking stupid. I don't want nobody saying
where to DC.
Damn, Erica did X, Y, and Z. So like, and that is detrimental because it takes a lot for me to like put my pride aside to be in a relationship. But I definitely would like expect a grand gesture and be like, well, where's the fucking hot air balloon? They'd be like, bitch. Even answer the fucking phone. Like,
I'm so simple. I like a good pie.
Me too.
I mean, it don't take that much for me.
I like that too, but
I'm a simple bitch. It's fine.
I'm a bird. So I like some nice shit too. I like some nice shit too. Okay. So as we talk about memory and how we tend to conveniently remember, forget things or add things to our memory, one of the things that was a huge part of Kiana's hot messiness, is that a term?
It is today.
Okay. A big thing about Kiana's hot messiness was that it was more like she had this whole life constructed about what happened to her mother. Her mother passed away when she was young. She had this whole idea of what happened and how that looked. And she found out as an adult, like, nah, bitch, like it was a whole different situation. And part of it was because her codependent sister, God, we love Karen. We love Karen, but Karen was doing, you know, she was being a big sister, yeah, protecting her baby sister. But those lies of omission, again, kept her from seeing the full picture and like the full idea of what went on, so that she was then able to romanticize and all of that. And my granny was big in saying, look, if you leaving shit out, you still lying. I don't think she said shit. She didn't say shit.
Are you sure? Okay.
Maybe granny did.
I'm about to say it's granny.
She said shit. You leaving shit out, you telling lies. So that makes me want to ask you, like, how do you feel particularly like in the context of not necessarily a romantic relationship, but familiar relationships, mm-hmm. like when people leave out certain parts of the story in order to protect members of the family. I'll let you think on that. Carry on.
No, you didn't finish your question. I was just reacting.
No, I was just saying, how do you, you know, like, how...
You know, my family does that shit all the time.
Uh-huh. You Black.
I mean... And one of my uncles died. They didn't even want to tell me. I was living in New York.
And I'm sorry.
So my dad's the youngest of 15 kids. It's a lot of them. I don't know if they just thought I wasn't going to notice, but like my...
Wait. Where's Uncle So-and-so? Oh, he at the cemetery. We're in the center, Dad.
Like, somebody accidentally told me, and I had to call and be like, the fuck? And they were like, I mean, you got a lot on your plate. You in New York. I'm like, the fuck? That's my uncle.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
It's fine, because they ridiculous. I got a family that like to sweep things under the rug and act like they didn't happen. They also like to gaslight when you bring stuff up and act like you made some shit up. That's a whole related issue.
It's very related. There's a couple of different ways to think about like honesty, right? So I read somewhere that in some cultures you're not supposed to be 100% honest if it's gonna cause harm to someone else. So it's like, if I have something that is fucked up and it's fucking me up, and I want to tell you so that I can feel better, but now you're going to feel worse, then that's not the right thing to do. Mm.
But that's like when niggas cheat.
And then they be like, I ain't going to find out.
It gets complicated if you think of it that way. Because in some respects, you if you're holding on something that you did and it's shitty and you're like, it's eating me up, I got to tell you. And it's like, you're doing that for self-release and your own guilt. But at the same time, like, I feel like honesty is, as cliche as the shit is really the best. It's the best way forward, like to have the information so that you can do what it is that you're going to do. And so in that story, like Kiana being quote unquote protected from her mother's death, like it didn't protect her. It made things worse. And I feel like that particularly with family secrets, because that very rarely are things better because you kept this secret. If somebody out there got a story of some people that did not end up in therapy because somebody had kept the truth from them, mm-hmm. Show me that person. I want to interview them.
Because it's a whole bunch of motherfuckers.
I just don't feel like, I feel like you have to, if it's something that's going to affect me, you've got to, if it's something that's going to affect myself, it's going to affect my family, if it's going to affect us as a family, if there's real ramifications to holding this information, you gotta let it out. You gotta talk about it. Cause it's just going to manifest into some other shit that becomes less. So I think about in the story, if Kiana had known the truth about it, she might have been able to get help. Her and her sister might have been able to get
early
therapy to deal with the situation. But instead, you know what I'm saying? So definitely, like, tell the truth. Especially, like, when you were mentioning, Erica, like, talking to your child about the divorce or whatever. It's like, tell the truth. Like, and even with kids know what the fuck is going on. Don't think you protecting them or, come on.
And that was one of the things that his therapist said to us. She was like, you know what? When you, like, he's seeing that things are changing, mm-hmm. you need mm-hmm. to say something, because if you don't say something to him, then it teaches him not to trust his instinct or not to trust what he sees. Mm. And so then he gonna be with a bitch that, or he gonna be with somebody that's like, my bad, I didn't mean to do that. You know,
or like, worse, he's gonna gaslight himself.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I went to somebody sucking some dick, but my bad. Okay, but yeah, sorry. Maybe. Okay. Codependency runs rampant in this whole story. It was codependency between Kiana and Karen. I done put a whole different character in your story. Between Kiana and Karen. There was a slight codependency between Genevieve and Kiana. Although Genevieve, I loved the fact that Genevieve was, she felt herself getting sucked in and was like,
I would say it was more than slight, but she got herself
out. But she was like, I can't do this shit and I gotta bounce. And I love that.
I don't want to spoil. Well, they don't know what happened.
They don't know what happened.
Or else y'all should have read the book. And still, please read the book. It's called Let the Lover Be.
Okay, so but it's grown, but their codependent relationship grew out of something. And I think that it was, I really liked, I mean, it's normal to see the codependency between partners or in relationships, but I think we fail to examine and point out codependency between siblings because that shit is tough and unaddressed. I think about, like, with my family, I have, it's five of us. And we all baby my baby brother. I mean, the nigga's 30-something. And I still call him my baby brother. I'm like, my baby brother come, and this grown-ass man with a beard. They like, we're the baby, you know? But it's just one of those things where it's like, he's the baby. We got to protect him. I think we've all gotten a little bit better about, you know, about protecting the siblings. But I love that you highlight the codependency between the sisters. And I even think, I'm trying not to spoil too much, I get to the end of the story, but I think that in the end of the story, as I think at like past the end part of it, I think that actually Kiana is going to be the one helping Karen. Is it Karen? Mm-hmm. Karen at the end, you know, like like pull away from the codependency, because Karen was definitely, let me protect my sister, let me take care of her, to the point where it was crippling her, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I do. As you were talking, and I think my baby sister is listening right now, and I think my big sister is listening right now.
Oh, my younger brother just passed. So
like, right before you were talking about him, he went. Yeah.
And I definitely
bust out when it's over with.
Yeah, it's fine. I know that. So I know for me, it has been a process for me to learn how to be a big sister, like learn how to be there for my younger sister and learn how to be a resource without being a third mama, without being judgmental, without saying, well, you should have done this. And even learn how to, and this is the, I think this is probably the hardest part, is learn how to let the people we love suffer. Because it's, there's no lesson in fixing it for her. And there's also no real independence or power in it. If I'm taking care of everything, or if mama's taking care of everything, or if daddy's taking care of everything, like, so, and I feel like that happens the most with the youngest child. Cause you know, it's just the position. As a middle child, I've been the mediator for a lot of my life, playing in between and trying to make sure everybody's good. And that's part of my therapy, where it's like, well, bitch, what about you? Like, you got to think about yourself. But in terms of, like, especially with a younger sibling, I really had to, you got to let go. And, you know, my sister's her birthday's Tuesday. She'll be, I'm going to say it. Fuck it, Tiffany. You can come get me out. She'll be 35 on Tuesday. Hey. And, And it's like, she's 35. Like, she's not a baby. She's not. And but sometimes, and I asked my mom, like, when you look at us, do you see us like young sometimes? Because I swear, I look at Tiffany sometimes, and I see her little chubby face. Mm-hmm. And I see the dry tears because something happened or somebody was fucking with her. And I'm like, where they at? You know what I'm saying? Like, I see that. And then I gotta try to remind myself, like, she's an adult. She is a grown woman with a whole fucking child. Like, she is a grown ass woman, and she has to make her own decisions and her own mistakes and her own triumphs and go her own way. And it's my job as her big sister to be here if she needs me, but not to tell her how to run her life or try to take care of everything. And that's difficult in a family full of women. Like, most, like, my mom is three girls. My aunt got, you know, three girls. So it's a lot of girls in the family. And, you know, we take care of each other in ways that, you know, like that we do. We nurture, we take care of each other. And it's something we're socialized to do. Anybody is able to be a nurturer, but as girls, we are socialized to be that way. And that plays out in our relationships. And I feel like that line gets blurred. Like, when are you caring too much? When are you doing too much? When are you shielding instead of supporting? And you gotta find your way through that. And I feel like at the end of the book, they will find their way through that. I think it's interesting that you think that Kiana's gonna take the lead on that. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Mm. Okay, so as we round the bend here, we're here at the turn on. So what do we talk about? Sex.
Uh-oh. I think my mama listening too, so. But she done already heard some shit.
I was about to say, so I can't ask about the squirting.
You can ask whatever you like.
Yo! So, first, fucking on the elevator. The elevator lead up. Like, I was like, y'all know I got my horrible story. I'm fucking on the elevator. I didn't fuck on the elevator.
You were having foreplay?
I was having foreplay on the elevator, but it was like at this club in Miami, and it literally went from like the first floor to the second floor. Like, we got on, we started making out, and went ding, and then the doors open, and it was a bouncer, and he looked at us, and we just closed it, and went back down, and then come back up, it's like ding, and he's like after the fourth time, he's like, y'all motherfuckers gotta get out, like, shit, like, this is some bullshit. And then, damn.
Oh, shit. You forgot what you
was No, I was going to say, I was about to clown Kiana for not knowing her name.
It be like that sometimes. You don't know her name
either. I could see him and be like, hello, sir.
Listen.
And how are you? I'll be like...
I'm trying to remember who I was in the car with when you were in the elevator.
It's okay not to remember people's names like that. Hey, look. Especially if you are a sexually liberated individual.
Yeah, as long as we safe and we can't.
When you think through, like, I don't do like body counts and stuff because I don't. I mean, as long as you are shit, like, I really don't give a fuck. But like, if you try to think through, it's some spotty people, and you'd be like, who was that? It was, I met
him. No.
Well, did we fuck or don't we just, you'd be thinking it through. So that's life. Oh. And the memories get further and further away. You're supposed to remember exactly. Somebody fucking in the 90s?
Right.
That's 30 years ago.
Oh my God. So I remember there was a homecoming a few years back, I think. And this dude, he was like saying what's up to the crew and he dapping everybody up. And I'm like, and I was so mean to this nigga, like, ugh. And then like 5 hours later, I was like, I ain't fuck him. Why, man? I literally had to go. I pulled him aside later on. I saw him again at the club. I was like, yo, my bad. I mean, I thought you was somebody. He was like, well, damn, I'm missing out now. Well, I mean,
these things happen.
Yeah. Okay, so the squirting, you wrote it so poetically in that scene. It wasn't like, yeah, it was like,
right? It's a shower.
It was a mist. It was a mist.
Shower of love.
But also how you wrote
a mist.
So also, okay, the one thing that I wrote this down, these times of complete abandon that Kiana felt most secure. Mm. That just felt beautiful. I know it wasn't supposed to be, maybe, but it just, that's what I search for when I'm having good sex. I want to get so lost in the, sauce that it's just like a warm Cheddar Bay biscuit. I'm a fat bitch.
I mean, they're delicious. They've now come up twice on this episode.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah. But I just loved this scene, although it was not, the circumstances weren't ideal. Mm. The sex in and of itself was, it was written beautifully. And we always comment, we always say this, how part of the reason on this show why we want to highlight the sex scenes are because this is a part of who we are. We don't want like the Hallmark movie wake up and it's like,
yeah.
No, we want all of it.
Like
there.
Whitley going, doing her makeup for Dwayne, get up and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember Mrs. Maisel did that.
I just be wanting to see black people. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That kind of abandon, though.
What are you gonna say?
Go ahead. I was gonna say that kind of that abandon, that like that freedom. I feel like that's like essential to good sex. Is like,
yes,
if you gotta let yourself go. You can't be in your head. Like I don't know the unnamed woman situation, but I do know that like even like how you respond sexually has to do with like your comfort, and you're willing to just like be like, you gotta be comfortable in your body, be comfortable with the sounds you're making, the feelings you're feeling, the, you know, everything. And that's when sex is at its best to me, when you can really just let go and be in that moment. And it's not related to how much you love a person, because that's, I mean, it can be, but it also doesn't have to do with that either. It can also be in this particular moment with this particular person at this particular time and space, I'm about to just let it all go.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's independent of whether or not you're, you know, all googly eyes at the person or not. Like because you could choose that for yourself, irrespective of the person, and just be like, this is the way that I have sex. When I have sex, I just be free. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like in that moment, the sex had to be good because that's what it was about. It was about just letting go. We don't even know each other's names, but it's about to be lit. Like we about to get it in.
Hit it like a titty. Sorry.
And I think in the anonymous nature of it, especially because Kiana is always so much in her head and has constructed all these stories about what her relationship means, you know, her old relationship, that she's trying to get that old thing back. The fact that it is anonymous helps her to stay out of her head, right? Mm-hmm. It allows her to be able to go to that place where she's not thinking about what this person thinks about her. She's not even thinking about her name. She just sees light.
Yeah.
Like, there's beauty in
that's
that.
That's beautiful. So, you know, I so I used to hate morning sex because I have this thing about like, okay, so yeah, I breath. Cause honey, I wear a retainer at night. I brush, but it just, it's bad. I used to hate morning sex, but baby,
you came over to the
side. Girl, that thing be marinating overnight like a little, it's like a,
what did I say?
It's like a baked potato when you wrap it in aluminum foil. and then you cut it open and it see me like, wait. Cherie.
We didn't love Cherie.
And be like, you cut the foil and be like,
it was the gesture for me. It was the baked potato when she went like this, like a baked potato.
Girl, and now I'm like, that morning sex, but it has to be good enough for me to get out of my head mm-hmm. and get past the fact that my breath and all of that. So anyway, yeah, I'm sorry. I've been converted to morning sex.
I'm glad
it served you.
Cause that thing be baking like a potato overnight.
What's that? Y'all remember that that Martin stand up? He said the pussy marinates at night. Yes. And then he said you wake up and you be all crusty and your voice, he said your voice soundless, everybody voice soundless. Yeah, good morning to you. What do you feel like doing this morning?
I don't know.
What do you feel like doing this morning?
I'm gonna have to watch that all over again.
Yeah.
But yeah,
my wife is like that, man. What you feel like doing this morning?
Yeah.
I'm here to please, whatever you need.
You be even driving to work like
you have a good fucking day. You start the day with some good sex, yes. You're gonna have a good day.
An orgasm just is like
You know, we interviewed someone and she says she masturbates every single morning. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it every morning, but I have started doing it in the morning. Okay. More often in the mornings. And I do have a little
look, puffiness.
Blues are brighter.
Mm-hmm. The blues are brighter.
The sun's a little brighter.
And then it's like no matter what else happens that day, you had an orgasm. Like, I came today. So it's like, whatever else you want. Okay.
That's all right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that wraps up this portion of the episode. So now we're about to move on to our next segment, which is called
What's Turning Us On?
I have to make her say it. What's Turning Us On?
Can't resist. I love it.
Okay, so what is turning us on? So we got contacted. How do I tell this story?
I don't know.
Okay, so we found out about this company called Foria.
We had already been using Foria products,
though. Yeah, so Foria makes CBD products. So, you know, I think our first episode we titled What in the Butt?
Yes, we did.
And we liked to talk about a little backdoor action. Mm-hmm. Also, our good. Also, we found Foria makes these really cool suppositories. They are CBD suppositories.
And they are delightful.
They are delightful.
We're
going
to talk about it.
You can use them for.
So I use them for a couple of different
places. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So you can use them for you got notes. So Foria, one of the ways that they now have their kind of product line organized is they have like relief, they have healing, and they have like intimacy are like the different lines, but I use the suppositories for both. So one, I use them. I have dysmenorrhea, which I think I've talked about a few times on this show. Mm-hmm. And so I only have my cycle a few times a year. I use pills to skip it because my cramps are debilitating. Like I use a TENS machine. I take a whole bunch of meds at the same time. And I use these suppositories insert them into your vagina. It helps to kind of loosen up all your muscles so that your contracting of your uterus is not quite as painful. I start my day with these before I even get out of bed. I lay there for 15 minutes, let them get up in there, and it helps to bring my pain level down before I start my day. But the other way that I use these.
Okay, keep talking. I'm going to put the music behind.
Are you going to do more gestures?
She probably will. Oh my God. You put them in the refrigerator first so that they are a little less malleable, and you just pop them up in there.
Let it marinate
for a little bit, and it just kind of
loosens everything up.
Yes. And so you're, because you, we got two sphincters in there, it helps to loosen them. Yeah, because
the first one is fine. The second one is baby.
That's the one.
And if you are having sex with, you know, a strap that is on the larger side or whatever you implement, because we had a whole conversation before
about stunt dicks versus there's weenuses, stunt dicks, and then big dicks.
Yes, but there's also straps of various sizes. There's things around your home that you can use. Like we were talking about pervertibles and the pre-show and the VIP room. There are things that
you can just explain real quick what pervertibles are. That's my favorite word today. Like okay. That's the best word I heard today.
So pervertibles are just ordinary household objects or any object that can be turned into a sex toy. Mm-hmm. So I have my little
cocktail strainer.
Stick this in the oven. Stick this in the freezer or fridge. Make it a little cold, and then it becomes some sensual sensory something. Yeah. We can use candles. Mm-hmm. What else do we say? Ice cream. We had a vacuum for a wine.
Yes, it's a suction that pulls the air out the wine.
Yeah,
and also you can do some things.
So yeah, so that's a purple.
If there are any of those things that have a flanged end on them, so that they are safe to insert anywhere.
Yeah, don't just because you lose things.
my point is that there are lots of things that you could safely put in there, and if you need to make more space because you are using something that is on the larger side and you still want to make sure that you are having pleasure and that you are not numbing pain, because numbing
is bad. That are you need not to know if it hurts.
Great. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to know exactly. Pain is a signal. These are really good just for loosening up things, not for numbing any type of pain. So those are a couple of the things. And I've been using these for quite some time. And it was dope that Foria sent me some more to try out ahead of the show as well. What else did we get from Foria?
We also got these CBD drops. And again, yo.
We had a tech check today.
We had a tech check this morning. And I was like, just being Erica. And I was like, CBD drops. And then like 20 minutes later, I was like,
sitting on her head like it was her hair. Yeah, we was sucking. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Anyway, these joints are it. They're nice and just relaxing. They calm you down without you being like, you know, stoned or high or anything. And I am really, I know this sounds really fucked up. But I don't like bad taste in my mouth. I don't like bad taste. These taste good. Said. That's what she said. taste good. Now they are the drops are made with coconut oil. It has like an orange kind of taste to it, but it's not strong. It's just like a
But if you're someone like me who has a tree nut allergy, you should forego those. These have some coconut. No, these are just coconut.
Nothing.
What did you do? Okay, so I really want to try the tonic, but I cannot because I did not want to go into anaphylactic shock. So,
last.
I've got some too, actually.
Bath salts. These are not the bath salts that make you eat people's faces. our good friends in Florida.
I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it because of sure.
Okay. So, but these are salts. These are CBD bath salts. They have CBD and lavender, so they are good for you to just.
So yours is the wellness line, right?
Yes.
So yours has lavender. Mine is the intimacy line.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So mine has cacao. Is that how you say that?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to get your shit, you know.
This is the universal sign for loosening shit up. Opening the baked potato.
It has kava root, cacao, spearmint, organic rose, peppermint leaf. It's got rose petals. I can see. So it's got this peppermint. I haven't had a chance to use this yet because, like I said, I've been sick and not able to do things like that are luxurious, like baths. But I can see it's got this peppermint and spearmint. Probably get some little tangles, bring some blood.
Have y'all seen the TikTok? Have y'all seen that TikTok thing where you're like, why is it spicy?
I do not know.
I feel like the booty hole gonna get it.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
So if y'all are interested in any of these products, we'll add this to the event notes. I think we can do that, but also we'll add it to the show notes when this goes up on our website, and we have links directly to get these products.
And we have a discount code. I think it's like 10% off.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Ooh, I like savings.
We'll I should have researched that. But anyway, so with that said, this has been a great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, Sheree, you are like legit, like play cousin.
You I know.
Take it with us. When the world opens back up, you're going to come up, or maybe we'll come down to you.
Not going to Florida. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Damn, you had to make that face too.
And I just need Cass to take what's happening seriously.
I said when it's back up.
Yeah, you know, when it's safe.
Florida ain't it.
Yeah.
Florida ain't like people talking about like, oh, curfew. We had in Tampa Bay, we had a curfew for 3 days before they canceled it.
Damn.
Like they put the curfew in effect. Our mayor did, and then the city council like threatened the mayor with a lawsuit and shit, and then it was like, okay, just playing. And so then like stuff being closed, like shit is not closed, it ain't been closed. There were like limited hours for a minute, and like there were caps on numbers of people, but people in their establishments have to enforce it, and they were not. So Florida has not been shut down in any real way. And that is one of the reasons it is a hot fucking mess COVID-wise down here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is what they just
living their life. It's regular.
Okay. And that makes me sad.
Well, in 2023, when life opens back. Oh, no!
No, over.
We'll come down to visit. We'll come down.
Come on down.
Yeah. And we don't always do episodes of the show in sequence. So we have already interviewed Sheree for for the show where we do an interview where we just dig all in your business.
All in your business.
Yeah.
And we talk about the sisterhood of the, we need like a Midwest sign, like the power of the Midwest.
We
like,
do.
Y'all. Captain Planet, she's our hero.
Do something Midwesty on your merch, cause I have like two things in my cart right now that I'm gonna get. But think about something Midwesty for the merch.
Ooh, I like that.
Like catfish and spaghetti. I don't know how we'll make that into
right. Right.
I hate when people
say like that. Yes, I would buy a t-shirt that said catfish and spaghetti on it.
Wine, we
don't get it.
Okay, I'll make it.
Okay,
all right,
we got it. Yes,
but this was really great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I don't know, I adore y'all so much, and I love y'all podcast. I love the conversations y'all having. It's fun. Like when I listen, I'm laughing out loud. thinking about my life. I'm thinking of, you know, I'm telling my wife, like, oh my God, you got to hear this part. Like, it's, I love the podcast so much. So it's like being on it too feels kind of fangirly. So it was like anything y'all were asking, I was gonna be like, yeah, I was gonna make it work, like whatever y'all said, gonna make it work. So thank you so much for having me. I had a good time. I love talking with y'all, and so thank you so much.
Hey, so wait, before you go, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I signed up for Twitch just because I was watching these DJs once. So it's on there.
Oh, but, this morning for Twitch.
So I'm following, but like last week there was a 24-hour, it was the day of the election. It was like a 24-hour DJ thing, and it was all women DJs. Oh. And it was Monica Ray Simpson. It was for artists black women's reproductive health. Okay. I wish I can't think of the name. I'm gonna find a name and I'm gonna share it with y'all.
Please do.
She's doing amazing work. So it was her name is Monica Ray. She did. She just had like six women DJs that was like fucking it up. It got me through the day. It was so great. And so I signed up for a Twitter. All that to say, all of my shit is Sheree L. Greer on everything. So Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Facebook. My website is ShereeLGreer.com. Just keep it simple. So
yes, and that's ShereeLGreer.
Yep, that's it.
Yes, so make sure y'all go and follow.
Follow Sheree. Our cousin.
Pick up a copy of Let the Lover Be. Show the people the book. Yes, both of them. And so, and we'll have links for those in the show notes as well. And they're in our bookshop. And our
please buy from your local bookseller, black booksellers.
Yeah. And that wraps up our very first live show.
Yay!
How was it? Y'all like it live? Y'all like it live?
It's live.
This shit was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We do this more often.
Do some more. Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who took time on their Saturday to spend it with us. It was great. Until next time, we are Kenry and Erica.
Two hoes. Making it clap. I always try and she never does it on time.
I was kind of trolling you that time.
One, two, three. Oh, shit. Okay. We did it. Bye, guys. Thank you.
This episode was produced by us, Erica and Kenria, and edited by Ballistic. The theme music is from Brazy. Now you can support the Turn On and Get Off. Subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app. Then drop us a 5-star review and you'll be entered to win something that's turning us on. Post your review and email a screenshot to us at theturnonpodcast@gmail.com to enter. Our Patreon page is also live. Become a supporter today and access lots of goodies, including 2-for-1 raffle entries. Don't forget to send us your book recommendations and sex and related questions. And follow us on Twitter at @theturnonpod and Instagram at @theturnonpodcast. You can find links to books, merch, transcripts, guest info, and other fun stuff at theturnonpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Holla!